There are so many responsibilities that me as a man, that I, Eric, have been ignoring for a long time. And I mean, most Americans do it. I mean, the American debt shows us just how much shit is fucked up. If I have what the American debt means correctly, student loans, credit card debt, like all of our debt is in that debt. It's not just the debt that the presidents are making up. It's an accumulation of everybody's shit. And it's a representation of how everybody is living. I don't have credit card debt. I have student loan debt, but that shit haunts me like, fuck. I don't know when I'll be able to pay that back. It just seems like a lot. It seems like a whole lot. And then I have children who will probably want to go to school because America is a country that feeds kids lies. And America is also a country that keeps the parents too busy to dispel those lies from those kids. So when I smoke, a lot of those responsibilities are just come and fucking smack me in the fucking face. And it used to make me very, very, very anxious. Nigga, I'm talking like, nigga, I thought at one point, nigga, Kiki was going to attack me, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I got so high, I thought Kiki was like, bitch ass nigga, this for not taking me out when I was like on some, I'm not.
Just plotting on you.
Plot, bro. I was like, man, if this, I told Sierra, I said, man, because me and Sierra took an edible and we did not. One thing about edibles, like, you just don't know how much to take. And it takes forever to kick in. But when that shit kicked in, we was praying to God that we made it back down safely. I said, man, if this motherfucking dog decided to go crazy right now.
We all did.
What? This fast little fucking rodent with teeth that we have shampooed and fed the best fucking food for 10 years. What? If it just got shitty and was like, you bitch ass. Just went crazy.
Ankle's gone.
No, not even ankles. I'm thinking like motherfucking Logan when the little bitch was jumping off the walls with the claws and just ching. I'm thinking about Kiki jumping off the walls.
Kiki
nigga.
Jumping just out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, just chunking me.
Oh, bro, what? Bro, I took a shower. I was so high one time, nigga. I took a shower with the door locked and the shower curtain open.
Damn.
Thinking that Sierra's gonna come in there and kill me.
Yeah, you need to stop smoking.
This was years ago. But on the complete flip of that, when we came home with those twins, I was so anxious. I was extremely anxious, bro. And I smoked weed and a voice said, just listen to whatever Sierra tells you to do. Mm. And all of the anxiety went away, nigga. All of it. Bro, we got Dorian hyper ass running around, ready to come home. And we got two babies, nigga, begging for milk. My wife, stomach stapled, stitched up. She can't even walk up and down the stairs properly. I got to feed her. What's going on, everybody? My name is Eric Dizzy, and I am in here with an episode of whatever the fuck. I don't know what this is, but I am finally recording with my baby brother.
Yo, yo.
My baby brother. I'm getting away from nicknames because I don't like nicknames now that I'm almost 40, because I want my kids, like when Dorian want my attention, he'll say, daddy, Eric. Like, he'll just scream my name and I'll be like, yes, sir. He'll be like, come here. And I want him to feel comfortable saying my name. I'm not comfortable saying my mama's name. I'm not comfortable saying mama's name.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable saying Tanya. You know what I'm saying? It just sounds weird coming out of. It sounds so.
Come here, Tanya.
Yeah. But I want my son and my kids to be very comfortable saying Eric and Sierra. I want them to know who their parents are, and I want them to identify. I don't want them calling me Pooh Bear. I don't want them calling you Mookie. I don't want them calling Greg Stank. I don't want them calling. T is T because Jatandra is just. Yeah, you know what I mean? But
get confusing, right?
But we haven't recorded before. I don't know why. It sucks, but
it's because I don't come down here that much no more.
Yeah, you dip. My brother left here. When did you leave here? Indianapolis?
I think 2016. Sorry. I left here 2016.
16? Yeah, you had to get away.
I was living with you. And
that was awful. That was a dark time.
It was.
That was a dark time, man. I had this thought earlier, and I was thinking about that time. I saw an Instagram post about people saying friends is used too loosely. So I had to think about what a friend was and what a family member was. And a lot of the times I don't believe that people are friends because they never seen them at the bottom. And sometimes you have to embrace your friends. The only people that will embrace you at the bottom are your friends.
Yeah.
The only people that will embrace you at the bottom are your friends. The people that embrace you and see you and understand you and try to help you are your friends. The people who see you at the bottom and get scared and run are bitch ass niggas, and you should not talk to them any longer.
Right.
Because if you're only my friend when it's up, I do not want to be your friend.
Yeah, because it's not always going
to
be up.
I've been down enough to know that it's not always going to be like this. And I'm thankful for my boy Carlos, DJ AI. I'm really thankful for him. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful for you. But at that time, man, I knew you was going through something. And as an older brother, kind of like a father, you kind of like want to shake. I kind of want to shake some life into you. But I had to realize that we are on our own separate paths, and I can't live life for you.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful that I didn't lose you. Not saying that it was ever a threat.
Yeah.
But just saying I'm happy that I didn't lose you while you was trying to find yourself. And I'm very emotional this recording because DJ AI lost his son, 20 years old, just moved out of his parents' house 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Got shot on the east side. And I've never had a friend that lost a kid. So I didn't know how to be there for my boy. And the funeral was, he got cremated, but the memorial service was on Sunday. I'm just looking at all the pictures, because all the pictures are high school pictures. The nigga just graduated.
Yeah, just graduated.
He just graduated. So, you know, his sports pictures and his mom is, I just hugged her and I was like, I'm so sorry, sister. Like, I just didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
But that's a huge possibility for black boys.
Yeah.
For us to get fucking smoked.
Yeah, for no reason at that too.
Bro, you could be at a party and shot. You could be at a gas station. You get shot. You could anything, bro.
Yeah, bro. And that's the scary part too, is you can just do anything, and it's just like, do you stop living life? Like, do you like, I don't want to go do anything now, because you can be at the wrong place. Like yesterday.
Look this up.
Like yesterday, I was going to Kilroy's, and mama was trying her best not to have me go to Kilroy's, and she was just like, it's dangerous out there. And I was just like, I could get it, but
I think my mom is under the impression that violence is everywhere. And sometimes I have to let her know that Indianapolis is split up into parts. And the places I'm going, I feel like I don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
But I'm also positive that the people that die in certain places also felt that way.
Exactly.
So I try to go to places in the daytime. I don't go to places in the dark.
Yeah, right. Because I need to see all of that. And not even that. In the dark, just people just feel like they can do whatever.
It feels like that.
It's just like, it's when that sun go down, I'm a whole different human. It's just like, wow, bro. Like, you still live the same life when it's dark. But that's just crazy. Like,
It's just as you get older, as an older black boy, that's what I feel like, an older black boy, older black man. Now I have to worry about blood pressure, diabetes, health. I have to worry about, nigga, mobility. I have to worry about, and I still have to worry about cops, and I still have to worry about nigga shooting.
Yeah.
And not only am I worried about nigga shooting, bro, there's a Meijer by my house. And then there's a Kroger a little bit farther from my house. in opposite directions.
Yeah.
Meyer, I feel safe in. For some strange reason, every time I walk into the Kroger that's by my house, I always think it's going to be an active shooter in there. Every single time. It just feels like tonight on Fox 59, an active shooter is at the Kroger off of da 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 da. It feels like that to me. And I hate having to worry about so many things all at the same time. But us as human beings, what we are, I feel like us as human beings, what we're good at is masking our concern about certain things, like driving in the car. When I got high one time and I was just driving, I said, nigga, this is the most terrifying thing a motherfucker could do. Period. Motherfucker was fume, fume, fume. I had to look at the speedometer like, nigga, are you driving?
Yeah, bro.
I was like, bro, I'm doing the speed. I drive with the cruise control.
Okay.
So I get right where I'm supposed to go, cruise control. I'm not even about to put my foot on the gas.
Yeah.
I don't want no cops coming behind me. You know how fast you was going? Yes.
Yeah,
I do.
Cruise control set on 60.
Yeah, it's right here. It's 45, 50, 55. It's right. But it dawned on me, like, even my wife is a teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Bro, I'm like, nigga, it could be some deranged-ass white boy or white girl with anger issues can just go into my wife's job and just...
You know, man, that's...
Bro, I'm telling you, bro. And these are things that I have to think about. Even during going to daycare, I'm like, bro, it's been women that have been shot outside of the daycare by their baby daddies or their boyfriends or some. So I'm like, bro, everywhere I turn, it's a possibility of danger. The only place that's not dangerous is in my studio. That's where I am right now. Like I'm like, man, I have to get a grip on this shit. I have to get a grip on this shit. And in order to get a grip on this shit, I have to be a man and I have to stand up and I got to lead this shit.
Yeah. I think I'm starting to get to that point in my life now. 'Cause before it was all just bullshit and I got time, I can do this. But now it's kind of like, I'll be 30 in August. Yeah, my career right now, it's going good, but it can be better. Mm-hmm. I don't have any kids. I want kids. So it's just like, mm-hmm. I feel like once all that starts to happen, it's just like, I can't say too late, but did I wait too long?
For what? To have children?
Yeah.
Bro, Dorian's 3. I'm 36.
That's true.
Don't let motherfuckers make you feel like that. That was another thing too. Sierra looked at me and said, hey, nigga, I'm not getting no younger. Say less.
Skate.
Say less. You my nigga. We rocking. We good. I couldn't have picked a better person to have a kid with. I couldn't have picked a better person. If... As a man, I'll be on Instagram, man. I'm addicted to Instagram. I need to delete that fucking app.
Yeah, me too.
I need to delete the app. I'm on there just scrolling.
Me too.
I'm always seeing videos about motherfuckers talking about a wife this, a husband this, relationship this. And I be like, bruh, what the fuck are y'all even talking about?
And all of them single.
What are y'all talking about? Even the married ones, I'm like, bro, your situation is so unique. You cannot project this as the creme de la creme of how a relationship is supposed to go or how kids are supposed to be raised or this and that. Whatever works for you and the person you decided to have a kid with, that's your playbook. For me, for Sierra and I knew that she was the one when the bitch didn't get on my nerves. I swear to God, bro, we will be sitting in the same house all day and I do not get irritated with her. That does not happen with anybody in my life. You not excluded. My mama not excluded. T not excluded. If y'all sit in my presence too long, you know, I feel like I had to entertain you. But mama start, I'm like, all right, you got to go home now. Because you're trying to project your household rules into my house. Yeah. And this is not happening. Tia be like, let's go do something. She'll be trying, she moves too much.
Yeah.
Sit down. Shut the fuck up. Sierra going to watch her psych. She's going to watch psych. She's going to watch Abbott Elementary. I'm going to be in a studio. We just move in unison and sync. Like, and it could be because we've been together for so long, but it'd be like, we'll move without even speaking. She'll be cooking. I'm cleaning up the da 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 da. I'm doing the folding the laundry up. Then she'll take the basket up the stairs. I'm taking the plates that she just had. It's like we're moving like a
well-oiled machine.
And if you find somebody that you can do that with, that doesn't get on your fucking nerves, that doesn't make you feel less of a man for the decisions that you make, then you stick your penis in her and you have a baby with her.
That's where I'm at now with my girl that I'm with now. We had a little rough patch and all that shit that happened, but now it's like we had a point to where it's just like everything is going good. Like, when I say everything is going good, we're happy, we're taking trips, like doing more things with her kids. It's just like everything now,
how feels it was like a
before. Yeah, it feels like a unit, and we're more of a team now. Because before, it was more of like, you know, I wouldn't help do shit around the house. She'd just be all her. Because yeah. I like
you trash.
Yeah, and I honestly like I felt it was kind of stupid and boyish on my part, but I was just like she got kids and. Me being over there, I'm like, why am I cleaning up after, like, this house dirty because your kids, not me. Like, so why am I cleaning up this? But then she told me, she was just like, yo, I get that these aren't your kids, but I don't want to clean up every day. Sometimes it'll be good to have help. Sometimes it like, and I start to do that, and it's just like, it's more of a teamwork now. Like, when I watch the kids and she at work and I'm off, house is clean, living room clean, dishes done, cooked.
Right.
But before it wasn't like that. She would have to come home after she get home at 10 o'clock. She would have to iron the kids' clothes. She had to clean up the living room after the kids, and then she would be mad at me because she's just like, "Damn, I just got off work and you've been here all day and you ain't done shit."
Yeah, so, you was trash.
Yeah, I was. Damn. But now it's just like I'm getting it to where it's just like,
man, it's crazy to hear you say that, because we are brothers, and although we are brothers, we were raised in two different households because you live with your father and I live with mom. And on the flip of that, it used to be to where, nigga, I would be terrified of Sierra about to get off work and the house wasn't clean. Because I would be, because I have
mama.
Yes. I would be, bro, if I'll be, but when we first got together, I was still making music heavy. I'll look up and my watch, and it'd be like, school is at 2:45. Nigga, it's 3:10. The kitchen ain't, bro. I'm running to the kitchen, nigga, trying to clean up real quick. I'm vacuuming. I look like one of those, the cartoon with the vacuum on one leg. Nigga,
washing the window.
I'm looking like that, nigga. I was terrified, nigga. And then one day she was like, you know you don't got to do that, right? I was like, what? She's like, you don't have to do the dishes. Like, they'll get done. I said, oh, this is a trap, bitch. This is an entrapment. Oh, you trying to? Oh, no, definitely not, nigga. That's why, like earlier, I couldn't even eat breakfast because I was cleaning up the kitchen. I was raised by Donna and LaTanya, and I've been beat out of my sleep for not washing dishes.
Two spoons in the sink. Bro, everybody in the house.
A straw in the sink. A plastic straw in the sink, nigga. They're coming in, nigga. Nigga, pause on your nigga, get up. And now that I'm an adult, I understand why they were so angry. Cause nigga, you ain't got no job. I'm taking care of you. I'm feeding you. I'm making sure you got a roof over your head. And I asked you to do one fucking thing, which was make sure. I get it now. I definitely get it now.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I definitely get it now. Hope y'all enjoying the episode. We'll be right back after this commercial break. As a married man, I understand the importance of teamwork, and I understand the importance of friendship, and I understand the importance of accepting people. People that I say I love, I have to accept them for who they are, not for who I want them to be. And that friendship thing, like I've lost people who I thought were friends right before this upswing of my life, and now that I'm on an upswing, I can't say that I lost anybody, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
We had the time that we had. That was that. So long.
It's just like when you kids and you, like when people say you didn't know it was your last time.
Outside doing, playing, yeah, yeah.
It's just like, it's almost like that growing up. It's just like, you didn't know this was my last time going to the, hanging out at the bar with you. I didn't know this was our last shot together. But that's what it be.
I think my dad said it, and my dad said it in a way where I thought that he was trying to be funny, but he told me that I might be hypersensitive. And I'm going to look up what that word means. I don't have my phone. My phone is on the charger. Look up what hypersensitive means.
Hey, Siri, what is hypersensitive?
Talking to the mic.
Hypersensitive means abnormally or excessively sensitive, either psychologically or in physical response.
Yes. In nigga terms, I felt everything. I feel everything. And it makes me not want to do things. It makes me think about things a certain kind of way. And I had to realize that recently, I mean, when I say recently, I mean like a couple days ago, like just because I felt so passionately about certain things don't mean other people felt so passionately about other things. So I look online, I'm looking up, remember I was telling you about the friend that I, the girl that I looked up
yeah.
on Facebook. I got to burn a page in case I want to look and see how people are doing. But I looked her up, and I didn't know that she had heard Black Widow. Because one thing that I didn't realize is that I'm looking up people, but people can also look me up too.
Yeah.
They can look me up on LinkedIn. They can look me up on whatever site. But they're not. And I had to realize that, because I was like, man, I think you should really listen to some of the stuff that I've been creating, man. I'm really proud of the stuff that I've been creating. And she was like, oh, I used to listen to Black Widow all the time. I used to listen to it at work all the time. But she never reached out to me, like on Instagram. She never sent me a message on Facebook or nothing. Like, she never even, and it dawned on me, like, here it is. You play such a pivotal role in my life, emotion-wise. And you didn't even think to even reach out to say, man, I'm proud of you for doing this.
Yeah.
Fuck you then, bitch.
Do you think she knew that she was an important part, though?
Do I think...
That she knew...
That she played a pivotal part?
Yeah.
No, and that's the thing, too. That's the thing. Like, how would anybody know? How would anybody know? Because everybody just going through life, people might not be sensitive. Like I used to feel a certain kind of way if I would try to have a conversation with somebody, and it wouldn't go as deep as I wanted it. Like when you and I talk, we'll talk about music, we talk about sports. I'll ask you about your relationship and your mental health and how you're doing. And I have to take it for face value that you're being truthful and honest.
Yeah,
but. With my father, I don't know how my father is doing. My father had a whole major surgery and didn't call until after the nigga was out of the hospital. After I was like, yo, so I'm frantic. They was like, oh, well, he's home now. I said, wait, this nigga passed out at work. They had to rush him to the hospital, have emergency surgery, all of this type of shit. And y'all didn't think to text, to call or nothing. I didn't find out until I called and was like, yo, why ain't he answering the phone?
Yeah.
And it dawned on me, like, I can't say that they don't love me because they are not overly sensitive about certain things, if not all things. Like my whole father's side of the family. Like, I'm like, man, I ain't talked to none of them. They ain't reaching out to me. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, man, maybe they don't get down like that. Maybe they just don't
reach out.
Not even that. Maybe they just don't fucking talk like that. Not everybody talks like me.
True.
Not everybody can just talk. So, I don't know. I had to realize that, man. I think even now with the recent news of, you know, me going out to LA, I thought me telling certain people would make me feel a certain way, but I still don't feel no kind of way. Like nothing's changed. Even though it's the person that I wanted to work with for years. Nothing in my life has changed other than a financial situation that's going to improve the living situation of me and my family, which is the only thing that I care about at this point. But the shit don't come with nothing, bro.
Yeah, it could. Like once you actually get down to LA. And
it don't come with anything. Nothing. It don't come with nothing. You meet these people. You're going to talk to these people. Might have a drink with these people. Might have a steak or something with these people. You're going to take pictures with these people. And then these people are going to go home. And that's that. And now you have a job to do. And as soon as you don't do that job,
you're fired. Or they replace you.
They're going to replace you. It's not no hard feelings. The show must go on. So as long as you do what you're supposed to do, they're going to do what they're supposed to do. And that's that. But me, back in the day, I would have been like, man, we cool. We tight. These are my niggas. I got the numbers stated. I'm texting them like we. No, it ain't that. I've learned my lesson on trying to be like that. I've learned if they want to initiate that relationship after they meet me and then, you know what I'm saying? They're like, yo, if they hit me up like, man, I really enjoyed spending time with you. Just that, it's the extra shit. You know what I'm saying? It's the extra. I really enjoy spending time with you, man. Hit me up anytime. We can talk about anything, man. I really fuck with you. That's the only thing that needs to. That's the thing that needs to happen in order for me to feel like anything else come with it. But bro, I only want to take care of my family. So when you get a promotion at your job, nothing came with that.
Yeah. You right.
Didn't nothing come with that, but a pay increase and a little bit of
more work.
Yeah, right. And more work. You know what I'm saying? And now you get to take your girl on these trips. Now you get to be it. It's crazy how money does not make the man, but kinda.
Yeah. Get it?
Cause like what, like you feel, how do you feel now that you make more money than you did last year?
I feel good, but it needs to be more. It's always more.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I feel good that I actually
How much money do you think you need to make a year to be straight? How much money do you want to make?
To be straight, at least 90 a year.
At least 90. Is the cost of living in Florida higher? You wouldn't know.
Than here?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, lot more?
Yeah.
Oh.
But even if I was living here, I'd still say 90. I just feel like that's a good range to where I can pay my bills, not live an extravagant life, and be able to do... like go out on trips or do this or do that, like
right,
like making. I think this is the highest that I've made. Mm-hmm. Last year was the highest that I've made working. Period in any job,
mm-hmm.
And I was just like, yo, like it was more. It was like comfortable because I was still able to pay my bills. I had more money in my pocket, but I was just like, yo, like I need to get used to this of just having just money, because like you said, money, it makes a person. Money makes a person. And I don't really care what you say, because somebody cannot have no money, lame, goofy, all of that, and that's what he is. But as soon as he get that money, he's not that no more. He's a person that everybody want to be around. He's this.
He still might be goofy. He still might be lame.
Yeah, but you...
It's tolerable now because you have money. More people will put up with it. I see what you're saying. I find that the less money I have, the more irritable I am. The less I am very unpleasant. I'm extremely unpleasant. And I realize that. And I think that to circle it back to what we were even talking about when we first started, I think that stress was hidden because stress just piles on you it's not like clothes. Follow me, I'm freestyling. Stress piles up on you, but it doesn't feel like you're putting on 16 sweaters. You can't physically. Well, you. I guess you. It doesn't. Everything I'm about to say, I was about to say it doesn't make you physically. It doesn't change you physically, but it does. I was about to say it doesn't make you hotter, but yes, it does. All of these things that we make excuses of, like high blood pressure. High blood pressure, and I'm listeners, I know that it's more than this, but this is a very elementary way of explaining it. High blood pressure is the rate in which your blood is flowing through your body. The food you eat helps or restricts the blood flowing from your body. You not moving keeps your blood flow from rushing, which creates these passageways through your body that the blood can flow through. So when your heart is racing and your blood is flowing, it's opening up your vessels to where the blood can go in. Boom.
Yeah.
Now, what stress does is stress causes you to not eat right. So now you're either under-eating or you're overeating, and you're usually overeating bullshit, which is things that restrict your blood from flowing through. Da, 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 da. You're not working out, so your blood is not gushing through. And so now your shit just sitting like paste.
Yeah.
And it takes so much force to push your blood through your body. When you explain blood pressure to a person, it's like, oh, that's it. I need to eat more greens. I need to drink more water. I need to move more. But you don't want to do that when you're stressed.
Yeah.
The world is heavy when you're stressed. And when the world is heavy when you're stressed, niggas start drinking, which is awful. Start smoking more, which is awful. God forbid they start smoking nicotine, which is awful. Blacks, cigarettes, awful. God forbid they start doing coke. Off, like, so many different things start to interfere with the psychological mindset of a person when stress is there.
This world is stressful, bro. I think that's why it's just so messed up now, because everything is stressful to everybody.
Yes. And imagine having nobody in your corner.
Yeah.
Like, imagine being single during COVID.
Mm.
Nigga, no. Nigga. Mm. No, nigga, the world, nigga, we were so terrified. March 2020, February, March, April, May, those were the scariest times I've ever experienced other than 9/11. I was scared as fuck at 9/11, like, what the fuck about to happen?
Yeah.
But, nigga, March, April, May, June, nigga, we was terrified to touch doorknobs. Niggas was terrified to get gas. Niggas was, we were just handling it.
Yeah.
Remember what I was saying? Like, we just handle it. Yeah. We were just handling it. Once the world opened up and niggas was able to go back outside, mask or no mask, whatever, condom on your face, no condom on your face, whatever, however niggas wanted to give it up. I started to see that it was harder for people to hide that stress. People's the bags under people's eyes, the weight that people had picked up, the overall appearance of certain people. I know people who put on 70-ish pounds. I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
Yo. And I can't judge them because I don't know how that stress is impacting them. I bought a 3-pound jump rope and I was on the motherfucking patio going crazy. I was going crazy on them. I had the motherfucking neighbor like, you jumping at 6? Yo, wait to 9. I'm like, my bad.
You got nothing else to do.
Who you think you is, nigga? Nigga, so you think you Goggins or so, whatever the nigga name is, you think you him. I was like, bro, but I look in the mirror and I've hit rock bottom before. Like, 2000, when I graduated college, I hit rock bottom before. I didn't have nothing. I had nothing. No connections, nigga, no job, nigga, no car, nigga, no nothing. And I had to slowly climb up from that, and I still didn't learn my lesson. And then I felt like I hit a rock bottom again. And that's why I say, if people can see who you are in the dark and accept you and not judge you and not bring it up and not throw it in your face and not make you feel small, You ain't shit. You just, you ain't got nothing. I blah, blah, blah. Like people get mad and remind you. People get mad and start spewing things out at you and make you feel every bit of small. I feel like a lot of people deal with that. And I feel like a lot of people don't know how to love and trust because they've experienced people spewing things out at them to make them feel small. And some people believe that they are small.
Yeah.
So they'll never even try no more. Who am I to? Bro, when I got that call, when I got that email, I'm like, yo, I want you to come work on the Easter team. The old me would have made an excuse as to why I don't deserve that. This can't be happening to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
First thing I said, nigga, about time. About time. The things is going up for your boy. About time. Like I'm thanking God, nigga. What? Because I remember the things that I've said to myself. The hurtful things that I've said to myself, like, you a dumb fuck. Like, just being mean to myself.
Yeah.
Not giving myself any grace. Not giving myself, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, I don't know, man. But when you was going through your dark phase, I just wanted to shake you out of that. But no amount of shaking can help you experience the things that you needed to experience.
Yeah.
The things that, the when you bump your head and you heal from it, you grow from it. Yeah. But you cannot grow until you bump your head.
Until you bump it, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and we've lost too many brothers from lessons. We lost too many brothers who bumped their head and died. Because you could bump your head and die.
Yeah. That blow can kill you. That bump on that head.
That motherfucker is a doozy. It's a doozy. We'll be right back after this commercial break. There was two moments in my life where I felt happy to be, I felt seen as a big brother. One time I called T, my sister, and she didn't answer. And before I hung up, her voicemail came on, and it was my voice. It was one of my songs. And I felt the happiest I ever felt at that moment. I was like, oh my God. And then the other one is when you was rapping to come up. Bro, I cried like a baby watching that video because I wrote that at a very, very, very dark time in my life, bro. I'm about to cry thinking about it. I wrote that at a very, very dark time in my life. And to hear you rap the words that I wrote at a very uncertain time in my life, it touched me in a way that I don't think that anybody could ever. From the bottom to the top.
Watch me rise, KD skies, me high, chinky eyes, bad boy like B.I., no Puffy in the family, bet haters get sick when they see me at the Grammys, sits knee small, hat my back against the wall, middle finger to all, other hand on my balls like fuck y'all, sitting in my room watching the box, hoping that my slick words would get me out of this box, and fuck school, only went for the free lunch, and to shut my mama up, look how the time passed, often moms would get mad, cause I remind her of my dad. Had to get up off my ass quick fast and get cash. Was told that all great things will never last. Then a man will go mad sitting dwelling on the past. So I focus on my future. I had a wake up call without the rooster. You whack little niggas need a booster. Could it be the way that I'm flowing? You not used to. I don't mean to lose ya. I'm climbing the ladder to success and blowing on sets to relieve the daily stress. My mind stay racing with no finish line. No matter what life throw at me, gotta stay on my grind. A hustler's ambition, suffer from tunnel vision. Once I set my eyes on something, I gotta get it. My eyes on the prize. If you think I ain't gonna get it, use a motherfucking lie. Your boy got drive. Should be a taxi. How these fuckers try to hop on for the ride. I'd have been through hell and back, but no scars, though I'm fine. Wipe the dust off of my shoulders, getting my hold on. Big timing on your ass, getting my roll on. Hold on.
alone. Be quiet as haters whisper. Fuck what they saying if they ain't saying I'm that nigga. Bullshit, go figure, that's what they good for. Good for nothing, bastards.
I was writing that shit and the fucking walls around me were caving in on fire.
Ryan ain't gonna lie to that. I think that mixtape is the best mix.
That Pink Notice? That was Diziana.
Okay.
That was a dark time, man. Pink Notice. I mean, I only wrote music. I only made mixtapes at dark times. It's like an outlet. But now that I look back, it's like, bro, you should have been working. But I couldn't find a job, bro. Like, that was, bro, I hate filling out applications, bro. Because it take me right back to 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, when I couldn't fucking get a job. I had to take any and everything, bro. Working at Walmart, fucking Goodwill, Whole Foods, and you working at these jobs, and these people are at these jobs, and they just as unhappy as you.
Yep.
Everybody got their own shit. Walmart was a fucking clusterfuck of motherfuckers. Like, bro, you think the store is trash, just how it's ran, nigga, the employees are going through. Bro, it's like the application is asking you, do you have any bullshit in life going on? Yes or no? And if you answer no, you are not getting that motherfucking job, nigga. I was going through so much, and it felt like nobody gave a fuck. Nobody. Not mama, not my daddy, not nobody. It felt like nobody gave a fuck. And every chance that somebody got to remind me that they don't give a fuck, they took it. That's why I feel like, fuck y'all, sitting in my room watching. Like, that's why I feel the way that I feel. Every chance somebody had to, every time somebody had an opportunity to remind me that I am small, that I am nothing, they took it. Everybody, excluding nobody. Damn. So now, when I talk the way that I do to mama, to my dad, to anybody, nigga, what?
Now I feel it.
What? Because I had to climb up out this motherfucker, man. I had to climb up out this motherfucker. And I'm not even flexing as hard as I really want to. So don't let me go to L.A. and they fucking love me.
That nigga said I'm about to be Drake Jumbotron flexing.
Bro, when I watched that Kanye West documentary, I understood every fucking emotion that I cried so many times watching that documentary.
Yeah, I watched some of that documentary too.
Y'all niggas tried to shit on me every chance y'all got.
Literally, they tried to shit on me.
Every single chance. Fuck y'all talking about? Nigga, suck my dick, nigga. Bitch. That's how I feel. And I can't make music like that because I feel like I would say hurtful things. Bro, dating was awful. I feel like I met Sierra at the perfect time.
I got a question real quick. When you was in Hawaii, was you stressed? Like, was that a stressful time for you? Like, when you came back from Hawaii to Indiana and be like, before you had met Sierra, was you stressed out and was you still climbing up from being in Atlanta and all that?
Oh, I was over Atlanta by then. Hawaii was the perfect trip to get rid of all of that shit. Now, listeners, if you ever want to get away from the world, go to Hawaii for 7 months. Your whole perspective, because it's too, the time difference is like 6 hours, 6 to 7 hours, something like that. So I couldn't talk to anybody. So I couldn't keep up any relationship at all. And Sierra tried.
Oh, she did? Oh, yeah.
What? I hit up her sister, Camille, on Instagram. I said, yo, where the fuck is your sister, bro? I've been looking for your sister for forever. She ain't on no social media. She said, huh, finally gave me an Instagram, nigga. Gave me the Instagram, nigga. Slid in them DMs. Yo, I've been looking for you for forever. I want to holler at you. Da, 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 da. Gave me the number. And we talked. We talked before she would go to school because it was like 11 my time. And then we would talk when she got out of school. Because it was like, before I went to sleep and when I woke up, that's when we talked. Because it was, the time difference was perfect. But yeah, and Hawaii was just another way for me to experience something that I was not familiar with. Like, I was out there, I was the only nigga out there. It's niggas out. It's black people out there. It's niggas in the military. But I was the only nigga everywhere I went because the military niggas was not going where the locals went. I was where all the locals was because I was with a local. I was the only nigga there. I was the only nigga. I was in the club dancing, nigga, dancing. Dug in. I was dancing. Took a Molly. I'm sweating. I'm dancing, bro. And they looking at me like, this is a nigga. And I'm with one of the cool locals. Like, I'm with a well-known local. So they was really receptive of me.
Yeah.
And when you go somewhere, when I first got there, the nigga I played K-Con My Beats. The nigga was like, man, that shit suck.
Damn.
He said, throw all this away. I said, damn. He said, y'all just throw all of these away. But the raps, you can rap. You can rap your ass off.
Yeah.
He was like, but these beats suck. And then that's when I started studying more. I started studying what engineering, like I really was like, okay, let me figure out what this EDM shit is and how they making these beats so loud. And then that's when I came back home and I made Rock Chain. That's why all my shit started to sound bigger and better. And then I started podcasting because I didn't feel how I felt when I made Pink Notice. I didn't feel how I felt when I made Dizziana. I no longer felt how I felt when I made none of the comfort zones, none of the things that I'm referencing is music that I made in college, y'all. But I didn't feel like that no more. I wanted to talk about how I felt, and that's when Ignorant Philosophy came. Mm-hmm. So I stumbled into it, but now I just feel like I only want to talk to people that I love. So that's why these episodes come far in between, because I'm talking to people that I actually have good conversation with, opposed to people who I may host. No slap to them. I don't talk to Dynasty. I don't talk to Keenan. I don't talk to Boogie. I don't have conversations with these people. I don't just call them every day. I talk to you. I call you. I talk to people that I talk to and text, and that's who I want to record with now.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, but. Bro, I was down, man. And I was down recently too. I was scared being a father, man. It's scary. It's scary, man. Those kids in there, they love me. But I was scared that they might not. Mm. I was like, I don't know why, but I just was like, man, it must be hard to be a father because so many of y'all suck at it. It must be hard. It must be hard. It must be hard to be a father because y'all are not around like that.
Yeah. Damn, yeah. It's hard to love your kids, huh? It gotta be.
It has to be. It has to be hard. It has to be hard for a relationship to work because it doesn't. None of these seem to be working.
Yeah.
It has to be hard. If half the marriages that happen end, it has to be hard. But it's not. None of this is hard. All of this is I love you. I'm going to be patient with you. All I need you to do is communicate with me. That's it. And I'm talking to you. I'm talking to anybody that I love. Just be patient with me. Tell me you need help and then allow me the time to figure out how to help you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the times niggas would be screaming for help and don't even allow the person the time to learn how to help them. Because you got to learn how to communicate with a person to even help them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like your girl saying, hey, man, hey. You bum? When I'm at work, I don't want to come home and do this.
Yeah.
And before she said that, you had an opinion about how you thought it should go. And she said, regardless of how you think it should go, if you want your dicks up,
then you gonna clean up this damn house.
When you put it like that.
Right.
Because Sierra tells me all the time, she was like, man, it was a time where I couldn't tell you anything. And it was like I was stressed. COVID. And having kids, it affected me different, man. And being stressed about bills because Black Widow wasn't working the way I thought it was supposed to work. Like, it was just a bunch of shit, man.
I feel like, going off the subject, but I feel like people don't talk about COVID enough. Like, I feel like it was one of those dark times. Like, it was 2 years out of our lives. Damn near 2 years out of our lives. Gone. To where it was, yeah. And gone. Nobody, like, ever, like, taught. Like, everybody was so happy to get it over with, but... Nobody talks about, like, damn, like...
We were just terrified. Yeah, you're right.
Like, because I go back. Like, I have, like, for the rest of my life, Tootsie Slide by Drake will always remind me of the pandemic.
For real?
Always, bro. Just for the simple fact, because that was like one of the, damn near one of the first dances that came out, like that left foot there. Mm. Like
I don't know the words.
Yeah, like when that came, and then he was showed his house, and then in the beginning of it, it was all the empty streets of Canada and New York. Like I was just like, bro, like that's.
Don't you wanna dance with me? Nah. That's like Michael Jack. And they gave him so much shit about that song. They gave him, that was, I like that song.
I do too.
The only show that I've watched, and I don't watch a lot of shows, but I feel like Grey's Anatomy might have touched on this, but I don't watch Grey's Anatomy. The only show that I watched that made me feel exactly how I felt during COVID was The Morning Show on Apple TV with Jennifer Aniston and Steve.
Nigga. Grey's Anatomy, though, it was like that. The Morning Show, The Morning Show was like that.
Bro, when she caught COVID.
Yes.
And they showed the streets and they showed how the news, people had to. That's a really great TV show.
Yeah. But Grey's Anatomy did that, too, because I forgot the main chick, Ellen Pompano, the one that plays
Meredith.
Yeah. Meredith caught COVID. Yeah. And she damn near died from COVID. Mm. So, like, they had all of that to where, like, going into the hospitals, like, it was the shields. They had all of that. And
I should watch that.
Yeah, bro.
That shit was scary.
Yeah.
Even I know somebody personally. Well, I don't know him personally. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. I know somebody I went to high school with that almost died from COVID. And the motherfucker's still fat.
That's crazy.
Bro, I don't think y'all even understand what I'm even trying to say right now. You almost lost your life. You almost was taken away from your wife and your kids.
Man.
From your unhealthy eating habits. And you still ain't changed them.
Hey, some people just, I feel like some people just stubborn. Like
I talked to my neighbor. She's 50.
Yeah.
Beautiful white woman. Oh, my God. Beautiful eyes. She was saying that her husband had a heart attack and didn't want to wake her up. And she's a cardiovascular nurse. He didn't want to wake her up. And I asked her, I said, how did you feel knowing that you're a cardiovascular nurse, which is the nurse for the heart, and your husband had a heart attack and didn't want to wake you up? Part of his heart died because he didn't wake her up in time. He could have woke her up and saved part of his heart.
Damn.
And before he had the heart attack, he wasn't changing his diet. All that, like, stress, man. I'm telling you, eating habits, food, all that shit. I'm telling you. But when you almost die from it and you don't change, it's really like, okay, now that's a problem. Because I love my kids, man, bro. I love those little fuckers. A lot. So much so that I'm trying to kill off the old version of myself.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to recognize me come middle of the summer, end of the year. I don't want nobody to recognize me. I want to move lighter. I want to feel lighter. I want to be prayed up. I want to be different. And that's just from having kids. I didn't almost die. When I'm, man, my boy losing his kid, bro. I've never seen my man cry before, ever. When I pulled up to that motherfucking memorial with my son, because I had to take Dorian to a party afterwards.
Yeah.
With my son. And I'm like, bro, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. And he was like, man, I tried my best. And I was like, oh, fuck, damn.
Afraid.
Ah, shit, my heart.
Damn, man.
He was like, bro, I tried my best to. And I was like, bro, I know. He just cried, man. And I. Life as a black man, bro, is so much, bro. It's so much. And I know it's a lot for black women, too. I know it's a lot. And I can't imagine being a black woman and not being able to find a nigga like me that's hypersensitive and overly conscious about how she feel. Bro. Can you imagine being a black woman and when you already stressed and you a nigga, you already stressed.
Yeah.
Put a pussy between your legs, some titties on your chest, and now you got to fight for equality at work. You got to fight for pay at work. You got to fight for it. Nigga, is nigga sexually harassing you everywhere? Yeah, bro, right. I do not want to add the stress that I already got. Dicks in my inbox. Bullshit dates. Motherfuckers, I don't want to even deal with that.
Yeah.
Bro.
That's a lot.
Bro.
That's a lot.
Terrifying.
You ain't even scratch the surface.
I ain't scratched the surface, nigga. I know women who can't have kids. I know women who are 36 years old, want kids, can't find a nigga to have kids. They already got motherfucking fibroids on their motherfucking uterus, yeah, uterus right. walls. Bro, I'm telling you. It's so much going on, bro. And everybody is handling it the way that they're handling it. And I can't go to the club because I feel like I'm watching people handle things in a very toxic way. That's what I feel like. Yeah. I feel like when I go out, I'm witnessing people try to drink their problems away. Now, some people might be in there. Fuck it. I ain't gonna even lie. There's no reason for any happy person to go to the club, in my opinion. Like, and what I mean by that is when I was working out heavy and I was watching what I ate, I wasn't trying to go to the club because I was tired as fuck. My muscles hurt, nigga. I'm tired. I got to wake up at 6 in the morning to go to the gym. I can't eat what's in this club. It's only French fries and fucking chicken and alcohol. I don't want to be in here because it's not healthy for me to be in here. This is not where I want to be. Most people who are on that regimen, the path of getting their life together, they're not in that. They're not in that environment. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So nothing good, nigga. I might just be spewing off. I haven't potted in weeks, but nigga, no. I just feel bad for like women who can't find men. As a black man.
Yeah.
As a black man, because a lot of us are dead or in jail. A lot of us are dead.
Yeah.
A lot of us are in jail. A lot. I'd be like, man, where's so-and-so at? That nigga been locked up since nigga.
Yeah, I know, bro. Just in my high school class, bro. It's at least 30. I'll probably say 20 that I know of since I've graduated that died or went to jail.
Yeah.
That's just me that I know of. Yeah. And it could be more that I just haven't, they haven't posted, but it's just like, bro, like, it's just crazy. It's crazy everywhere, man. I hate when people think like, oh, I got to get out of Indiana because it's safe. No, nigga, I live in Florida and it's dangerous there too. You can still get your shit split there too. It don't matter where you at. You just died in a tropical place. It don't really.
It's palm trees above you when you die. Yeah, you right. Still die, my boy.
Or getting robbed. You just got robbed and it's sunny. It don't change any.
And 75 degree weather is crazy. Crazy. Getting robbed with a motherfucker.
Yeah, right.
The background is crazy. It's crazy. That is crazy. I'm nothing, bro.
Nigga, you remember that time we almost got robbed in Atlanta?
Yes.
Bro.
Shout out to Trenicia, whatever her name is. Shout out to her. Them niggas tried to get us for that camera.
They did, bro. They tried to get us. Bro pulled out the tool and everything trying to get a camera. I was just like, bro.
I'm just so unfazed by those things. I'm not some macho guy, but I was just severely unfazed at that point. Whatever y'all was going to do, y'all was going to do it.
Yeah, right.
Whatever y'all was going to do, was going to do it. And if we got to fight, bro, just be prepared to die.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
I don't want to be embarrassed, so you're not about to embarrass me in front of these girls, so. We're gonna go ham, bro. Yeah, for sure. All of that stuff, man. All the rap videos I made at that time when you came down to Atlanta. I remember those days. I missed those. I played You're the Boss for one of the actors that came over. She was like, this is really good. I was like, yeah, really? I said, I wrote this on receipt paper at Walmart. I was at Walmart and fucking a girl walked by and I was like, bruh, you are fine. Bruh, I wrote a whole song about that. I don't even know who she was, nothing. She was just fine, man. God damn. I remember that, man. This is off subject, but it's on subject. I've listened to Fuck Faces by Scarface recently, and that song comes on. He said, man, I met a bitch so fine, Sebastian made me sick sometime. I just had to fuck this bitch one time. I felt him. I felt him. I felt that. Damn. So bad she made me sick sometime. I just had to fuck this bitch one time. Bruh. Buying gifts for some guy that she make. Some guy that she date. Still trying. But yeah, man. Being a father is awesome. And thank you for recording with me. We've been talking for 2 hours.
Damn.
It don't even feel like it. But yeah, the biggest thing about being a good partner for me, I think why my wife loves me so much, is that I'm just overly conscious about how she feel about things. I'm always, are you okay? I'm always thinking about how she might be feeling. Because one day I did mushrooms and I was like, man, you know how much of your partner's life you have no idea how she experiences it? And then I got mad, like, my wife got to go to work and she got to deal with people. And I can't save her. Oh, you can't go to work. I need to work to where you ain't got to go to work.
Yeah.
Because if you come home and tell me that it's a nigga bothering at your job, how am I going to handle that?
Yeah, right.
I don't want to handle that. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. No, I don't want to deal with that. No. So I'm going to have to work my ass off. And we're going to have to move to a place where we ain't got no rent, which is why we're going to move to our parents' house. I already got this mapped out. Yeah, because now... Mm-mm. And with kids, you start to realize like where our parents might have went wrong, like that rat race, like I said, that American dream type shit, that everybody have a job and everybody do this and that and that and that and that, and that. But no one's at home watching the kids. My wife is great with the kids. She's the most loving. Her mom is one of the most loving people ever. So I want my wife to be home with the kids, and I want my wife to be home relaxing, painting, playing the piano. I'll be the workhorse. I love what I do.
Yeah.
I could do this shit all day, every single day. I love it. I love what I do. I love what I do. And I don't got to deal. I can deal with people, but I want my kids to know that love. I want my kids to feel that love. I want my kids to grow up knowing that their parents love them. No doubts, no nothing. I want their health to be good because we cooking for them every night. Nigga, we both working, nigga. She too tired to cook. I'm too tired to cook, nigga. We door dashing. We might chicken nuggets and fried. Like we teeter-totter between really great diet and really shitty diet.
Mm.
Really great sleeping habits, really shitty sleeping habits. Like we trying to stay on a routine and schedule, but it's hard, man. It's hard. I mean, you know, so you got stepchildren.
Yeah.
How is it being a stepfather, bro?
Oh.
You a strong nigga.
Yeah.
Because they not you.
It was tough at first. And I'm not going to lie. The only reason why it was tough is because they were so young.
How long y'all been together?
Officially probably since like 2018.
Okay.
But we've been talking since down there a year, a couple months after I got there.
Mm-hmm.
And
y'all work together or something?
Yeah, we did.
Mm.
And yeah, she actually, it's kind of crazy because it was going down a T's wedding, and she had me coming back. I had to ask somebody to cover my shift, and I had asked for her number, and I got her number, and that's how we hit it off. But anyway, her kids was so young. She had I want to say at the youngest, her youngest was like 5 months, 6 months.
Oh, damn.
Nigga, yeah, that was so. It was just like, it was hard just for the simple fact that, you know, if we really couldn't go out anywhere, we couldn't go on dates, we couldn't do this because it was like, and then it didn't help that her baby daddies, they ain't shit. None of them are shit, bro. Yeah. Like, none of them are anything. Like, yeah. When I say, like, it's just crazy because these kids think their daddy is
Superman. The world.
Yeah, bro. And it's just like, this nigga is a bum. Like, he's a bum. But yeah, but just being a stepdad, it was hard. But now, them being a little older and we being able to do shit together, mm-hmm. that shit mm-hmm. is honestly lit, bro. Like, it's lit. Because I be in a room with her... with the 8-year-old, and he at that age now to where he play video. Even the youngest one, he's 7 now. Well, about to be 7 this year, bro. We be playing Madden, Fortnite. You be like different shit like that. We just got him in the oldest one in football. So it's just like now I'm looking at it, so it's just like, all right, well, I'm here now. So it's just like, I love you. Kids ain't going nowhere, so fuck it. Like, and then I also looked at it too, to where it's just like, if I really got a connection with this chick, yeah, she got kids, I'm not finna like not be with her just of the kids, because mama had three kids. And it's just like, that would have been like for somebody, for her, if she had us and nobody said, hey, nigga, you got three kids.
Mm-hmm.
But by different, I'm not finna deal with you. I'm not finna do that. It's the same thing with Heather. Heather, she didn't have to be with my dad when he had me. It was just like, so I kind of looked at it like that. And it's just like, it's not all that. It's not bad because they got kids. You just got to do a little bit more.
It's very mature of you.
Yeah. So I've been doing a little bit more. I've been hanging out with them, got the oldest one in football, trying to get the daughter now in the cheerleading. So it's just like, now I look at it to where I can't even say I'm competing with their dad, because I already blown him out the water. But now I'm making it to where, because they're, like I keep trying to tell their mom, I'm like, yo, they're getting to that age now to where they're going to see their daddy and shit.
Yeah.
They're going to see that. Hey, yeah, this nigga ain't nothing. So it's just like, now it's just like, I'm doing everything that I can to be like, all right, well, yeah, my daddy went shit, but this nigga right here, like, even if I was to leave, I can guarantee you those kids would be like, damn, where's Carlos? I miss this nigga.
Yeah. I want to put this bug in your ear, and you might not act on it right now, and that's fine. Therapy for the kids. Therapy for the kids. Because, the reason why I say this is because Dennis, rest in peace, my friend Carlos's son, he kept wanting his dad to like be shit, and he wasn't. He kept wanting him to be like this superhero, and he wasn't. And it prevented Dennis from loving Carlos as much as he was supposed to. It prevented him from listening to him as much as he was supposed to. And he was there since he was like six. So it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think it mattered. Like, I don't think it matters how long you've been with the kid, because they still gonna want their father to be around. That's just inevitable.
Natural instinct.
Yes, but they're gonna have to have some kind of. I've seen, not just even with just Dennis, me, I wish I had therapy just to understand the emotion that I had about my father not being there. Because I think it did prevent me from actually loving and listening to men. Because I was like, well, fuck y'all, nigga. I always had that mentality, and I wish I didn't. Because I think it didn't. But you lit for being a good stepfather, man.
I try. I mean, shit, they gotta, like I said, it just sucks because, like you were saying, women already got to deal with so much bullshit. Black women already got to deal with bullshit. So you thinking that this nigga that you just laid down with, you Bruh. Finna be a partner with, Bruh. And this nigga not even, he don't do yeah, nothing. Yeah, and it's yeah. just like, bro, like, what?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about just how my daughters are going to be different because of how much I love on them, how much I talk to them, how much I'm with them every day. I've seen my kids probably more than some of my friends have seen their kids already.
Yeah.
I see them every day, all day. Just, you know, I think about how different their life will be just because I'm here. They got a hypersensitive ass dad who's always emotional about everything. Yeah. So I'm always talking to them, telling them I love them, kissing on them, hugging on them, and walking with them, playing. I'm always doing something. So they might be up now. But I'm always daddy mode. And when they get older, I'm going to always be there for them as much as I possibly can. So I can't imagine what it's like for me not to be here.
Yeah. That shit going to be lit for them when they get older.
Yeah. So I'll be thinking about women who grew up. My wife fortunately had both of her parents. So I don't have to deal with, you know, some of the unfortunate circumstances and on the emotions that, you know, women,
daddy issues,
mama issues, because it's not just the daddy issues, it's also the mama issues. Like, women grow up and they don't really be having the best relationship with their mom.
Yeah.
And they don't got no relationship with their dad, you know? So their view on love is different, which is what leads them to have kids with three different guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, it leads them to go, I just feel for my black sisters, man.
I do too.
I feel for them, man. And I think that's why I always create for them. I think I've always felt this way about black women. Like, I'd be
hating it now too with like with black women, especially like in like for example, at ESPN, I feel like they giving some black women like, hey, you're black, so we're gonna follow the wave now and hire you on, instead of like, hey, you actually work really good, I'm gonna hire you. Cause they got this rule in the NFL called the Rooney Rule. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but pretty much the Rooney Rule is the owners have to interview a black candidate. They have to. They don't have to hire them. They just have to interview them. And I feel like that rule right there is, I feel like, one of the most dumbest rules, because it's like, yeah, you bringing in somebody to interview, but nigga, I ain't getting a job.
Yeah.
That's like the dumbest thing. So it's just like, now I don't want it to be like, because a lot of black women are getting their flowers, but I want to like, I'm wondering, it is it like genuine?
Are they real flowers?
Are they real flowers? Because are you just doing this because like,
it's the quota and it's cool now?
Yeah. To have a black woman in charge. Not saying that they don't deserve it, because they do, because black women are smart as fuck. But
yeah.
Is it like, is it really like, hey, here's your flowers, you deserve this, rather than just giving it to Susie over here and she don't deserve it? Because they was doing that, this chick named Maria Taylor. It was this chick named Rachel Nichols, and they had a phone recording, and she was pretty much saying like, I praise Maria Taylor, I fuck with her and all this, but she can't have my job just because she black. And motherfuckers, like, she got fired for saying that. Like, they fired her. And it's just like,
I don't want you to take my job just because you're black.
Yeah, I want you to take my motherfucking job because you're good at it. Yeah. Like, and it's just like, and then they gave the spot that Rachel Nichols in to Maria Taylor.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
she was damn, that happened anyway.
Yeah, it's just like, was you gonna give this shit to her
already?
Yeah, or not. Yeah. But now that this goddamn recording came out, it's just like, oh, well, you gotta go.
Thank you. Here you go. Yeah. Gotcha, bitch. Hey, man, these niggas better stop talking on the phone, bro. I ain't talking to nobody.
Bruh.
I'm not talking to nobody on the phone, bro. Nobody, bro. Nobody. Not texting nobody. And I'm only talking to my wife.
Yeah, bro. They be leaking emails and all. I'd be like,
niggas are sending way too many emails.
Yeah, bro.
Niggas are sending a lot of emails. I'm like, bro, I don't even talk to my email like that, bro. Y'all got it. Y'all smoking dicks. I'm not doing none of that. I'm not. Bro. And I don't, no. Mm-mm. I done had many lifetimes, bro. I done had many lifetimes, many toxic lifetimes, bro. And I'm, nope, I've already experienced that.
Yeah.
I'm nothing on that. I'm not doing that. Uh-uh. And y'all, that was a very great recording. We have utilized all of the children's nap time. You gotta change some diapers. Brother, I love you so much, man.
I love you too, man.
I'm very happy and proud of the guy you've become. And I just can't wait to see who you be. I can't wait to see how your relationship with your girlfriend transpires and your career transpires and who it turns you into. As a black man, we got to stay on top of our health. We got to stay on top of our mental health, our physical health. And everything else will fall into place. I feel like if you make the time to work out, or make the time to, you talking? If you make the time to take care of yourself, that means you're taking the time to love yourself. And if you're taking the time to love yourself, I feel like other people will be forced to love you too. Or they can hate you, but I'm really happy. Say hi. You're just talking it up a storm. Say hi. I got a job with radio starting in June. So I'll be flying to LA to meet the team, Issa Rae's podcast team, to work with them on a 24-week project. And then after that, I'll be working on a project with Sony for 6 months. So I don't know when I'll be recording again.
Y'all just know that yesterday's prices ain't today's prices. So.
Def not. Oh, def not. But I never wanted y'all to pay me anyway, because I don't want to work with anybody. What are you doing? Say hi. Okay. All right, y'all. Peace and love.